I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It is KSL's unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us on a, what is today? Is it Tuesday? Yeah,
it's
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
I just get my days mixed up when we're so excited about football.
Yeah, yesterday we met Thursday.
Oh, wait, what? Yeah. Now I'm confused. Now I'm really confused.
No, we met Thursday on Monday.
Right. We met. Okay. But I'm lost still. Is today Tuesday?
Today is
Tuesday.
Okay,
today is Tuesday.
He said, I'm really cool because my name is Thursday.
Oh,
but
we
did. But I'd be really cool if my name was Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, we met a man named Thursday. Hey, now listen. We got to jump into the program here. We got ourselves a 8 o'clock hour. We're going to start off with our 8:05 cut. And this one has to deal with, of course, the conversation that goes on now between the two biggest powers in the South, USC and Utah. So it is our 8:05 cut. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the words that Clay Helton spoke with us about earlier this year. Take a listen to the cut.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
So one of the interesting characters that we got to know at Pac-12 Media Day was Clay Helton, Scott, and
he was certainly someone for me that was totally different than what I had pictured him.
What did
being.
You picture in your mind?
Of I Clay pictured Helton him being a little less eloquent.
Oh,
I pictured him being kind of a.
I pictured him big timing us too, like being.
Oh,
a little,
you did? Oh no, I never felt
Chip
that way.
Because Chip Kelly, no, I'm saying I pictured him doing that before the interview. I thought, oh, Clay Helton, he's the USC guy. He's going to big time us and just kind of go, yeah, whatever. I'll do your little radio interview. It was awesome.
He was engaged.
Yeah,
he was thoughtful. His answers were, I felt very open and honest. I didn't feel a lot of like. He was trying to sell me something or he's trying to put a spin on things. I think he genuinely thought it's just like, this is who I am. And I wonder if that's how he always is. You know, he just kind of wears it on his shoulder.
So I cut out a piece of the interview that we did at Pac-12 Media Days. No one's heard this yet on our air, but you who are listening right now, and we'll put this, of course, on the podcast, but you can listen right now. This is our conversation that we had at Pac-12 Media Day with Clay Helton. He starts off talking about how much he likes dealing with the young men and how much he loves like teaching them and being not just their coach but their mentor, not just to go to the NFL, but in every facet of life. That's like his favorite part about this is mentoring these young men. Take a listen.
That's one of the things, having the great fortune of being at USC. This is my 10th season. The relationships and the trust that you build with these kids and just the type of men that they are. It's special, and I bet you Kyle feels the same thing at Utah. Is you take an 18-year-old and you watch him grow into a 21-year-old. It's a special thing to say that, and you get to put your last final stamp on a kid before he goes off to be a professional, whether that's on or off the field. That's part of the teaching business that we're in.
So you're always going to get, like, the good players at USC. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look and there's just talent after talent every single year.
Do you ever
lose
a recruiting battle?
There's a couple that we've lost.
There's a couple. But is that – so you kind of have a down year last mm-hmm. year, and you've had tremendous success. Mm-hmm. And it just gets a sense from people like, oh, you know, USC, there's all these kind of problems there, and you live in this fishbowl. Mm-hmm. Is it easier for you to kind of rebound every you know, some mm-hmm. some programs it takes so much longer. Mm-hmm. Is that a blessing or is it a curse to kind of have and the curse side of it is, why don't you win the Pac-12 every year mm-hmm. if you get all the talent, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, the greatest thing about USC is the expectations that come with it. It's one of the
and you like that.
And I love it.
Okay.
It's one of the reasons that I came is you've always – every coach wants to coach at the top of his field. To be at a place like USC, to be able to know that there's a standard of excellence that you have to uphold, that you're going to be graded on that, it's a special thing. And I welcome it, to be honest with you. It's something that comes with the job, and if you don't like it, don't take
the
job.
Don't go there.
Yeah, don't take the job.
You're working on as a head coach here at USC since 2016 – do you look at plus the 10 plus years you've been here, now in your 10th season, do you look at your time in Los Angeles and say, you know what, this is the time right now that we have mm-hmm. to turn that corner, because mm-hmm. the expectations are always there and you love the expectations.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's also the fire of the and the ire of people who go, mm-hmm. you better give this that South championship and the division championship, which people expect every year.
Yeah.
That's like give me the South Division on our way to the Pac-12 mm-hmm. championship game. Do you look at this year as one of those years you go, we got to make this happen now?
Well, I look at every year like that, especially at USC. And I think every college coach does. Unless your last name's probably Coach Saban, you're always.
But even him, too, though, don't you think? I mean,
well, at some point,
it's kind of this whole hot seat thing.
Well,
is
to be able to, I felt the same last year, and we had just won a Rose Bowl and a Pac-12 title. You know, you walk into each year and know you're going to be graded on that year. So it better be your absolute best effort. You better have a sense of urgency, and you better be prepared to not make the mistakes that cost us last year, because you are graded each and every year on no matter what you've done in the past.
So you like the expectation, you like the limelight, mm-hmm. you like to be there. This year, the media has picked Utah
mm-hmm.
as not only to win the South but mm-hmm. to win the whole conference. Mm-hmm. Do you like and relish the role of maybe not having the spotlight on you this year and that expectation? Because to me, if you're going to win the South, you're going to win the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. It always has to go through that USC.
Yeah, I've always cherished the game between us and Utah. It's always been a great game.
Can you say it's a rivalry at all? Or just
I've said that in the past.
Okay.
When I look at it in my 10 years here, the South has been won really based on that game.
Yeah.
Who wins and loses that game. So it's been ultra important in their season. And it's an early game for us. It's the
first
fourth
one of the conference for Utah.
Yeah, yeah. It's the fourth game of the year for us, second conference game after Stanford. So it's a very important game for us in our season. And, it's become a rivalry. Our kids see it as that, and they love the challenge of it.
Scott, I like the questions you were asking him about just where kind of he is, dealing with that juggernaut of a program and having that loss to BYU. I mean, this was a couple months ago. He already knew how big the expectations are going
to
be.
He knows the fishbowl he's in.
And he knows it's even worse
now.
Or
the Shark Tank.
Right, yeah, it's probably the Shark Tank. No, but but that loss to BYU is as bad of a loss as you can have, short of losing to maybe an FCS team or something. But, not saying the BYU is bad, but what I'm saying is
the non-conference
games are supposed to be gimmies.
Well, if you lose to Notre Dame and you're USC,
right,
that's maybe acceptable.
Sure.
But they didn't expect to lose to BYU.
No, they chalked that up as one
of
the
wins. That tells the USC people things aren't good here.
They were expecting to be maybe 3-0, maybe 2-1 if they had a close loss to Stanford, you know, in that first in their first week. Right. But the reality is that being 2-1 and losing to BYU the week before, he knows how much scrutiny he's got on him.
BYU unscrewed the lug nuts, and the wheels are starting to loosen up.
I'm interested to see what he's going to do now. I honestly, I'm like, okay, leave
you. You know
what
he's going to do.
What?
He's going to fight hard to the bitter end.
Right.
He's going to put a good face on it, just like he did. Just like he did with us. But his time there is over.
But that's
it's done.
That's crazy.
Lynn Swann leaving, new administration. They're making a complete cleaning of the house at USC.
But I would love.
They're going in a totally different direction. I guarantee you.
I think that Clay Helton not going to, you know, another program and just doing amazing. I just can't imagine that not happening. I think that he'd be picked up by anywhere, and he would love.
Where would be a good place for him?
I mean, you go down to.
Would he be a good coach in like the Big 12?
No, the SEC. What about going to like a you know one of these programs
Mississippi State, like Ole Miss.
For example, you're like, look, that's a team that, you know, you should be getting a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And you know, he knows Nick Saban pretty well. He knows how the SEC works. Again, that's a program that people would go, please rebuild us.
Yeah, but if you're Clay, I mean, I don't know. I don't know you can rebuild Ole Miss, but that would be scary to me.
All right, we're going to take the break. When we come back, Scott, you've got something to say about the Steve Young reaction today or last night after the this whole idea of players just kind of going wherever they want.
It's now become the NBA and the NFL.
The NFL's become the NBA. I want to get your thoughts on that. We're going to come right back. More to go. It's the second hour of KSL's Unrivaled. Thanks for being with us on KSL News Radio.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.